We're starting a new series. We just finished a series entitled The Power of Words. If you have not heard that series, please take the time to go on YouTube and listen to that series. I believe the power of words is one of the greatest things that we can grab hold of as believers, because whether you know it or not, you are created in the image and in the likeness of God. And because of that, he has not taken your authority to speak things into existence the same way he did as your father. Your DNA is that of deity. When you say something, something happens because of who you are. Raise your hand if you said yes to Jesus. Those of you who are watching online, I know we can't see you, but raise your hand anyway. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've said yes to all the benefits of being a part of the kingdom. And because when we speak, things listen to what we're saying and goes into operation. When the ladies were singing that song, Breathe, when they were singing that part, Breathe, do you understand? It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. If the Spirit of God breathes on that situation, it changes just like that. Do you realize that you are one encounter away from your life being changed forever? That's expectation. That is tapping in to the possibilities. That's choosing the unseen realm over the seen realm. Your words matter. A lot of people are walking around today hurt from words in the past. And you have the power to transform your destiny and what's going on. So very important. If you haven't seen, read, or heard that series, tap into it. Hear it. It will make all the difference. This series is entitled The Abundant Life. The abundant life is the life that Jesus died for you and I to have. What is an abundant life? An abundant life is a life that is truly full of peace. A life that has the evidence of the peace of God in it. You can't tell me that we have an abundant life if we don't have peace in our lives. That's not abundance. We don't have an abundant life if we don't have hope. If we don't have hope in a sure future, if we don't have hope that our future is better than our past, that's not abundant. An abundant life includes peace. It includes hope. True peace does not come as a result of eliminating sorrows and disappointments. It comes as a result of one thing and one thing alone, and that is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us are going to run into things. All of us are going to run into walls. There's going to be headaches and hardships. There's going to be things that we come against. And the only thing that keeps us going forward every single time is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He is where anxiety ends and life begins. Disappointments are inescapable, but Christ's love is always readily available for us. When life lets us down, Jesus lifts us up. Say that with me. When life lets us down, Jesus lifts us up. That is so important to know and understand. The proof text of that statement is John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you." That means there's a way the world does things that will not work, and there's a way that Jesus does things that works every single time. He said, "My peace I give to you." Not a little peace, not a sort of, a kind of, a shape. He said, "My peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus would not be just if he were to put that in there if we weren't capable of doing that. He said, Do not let your heart be troubled. You know what that means? Every time we've been overtaken by trouble, we let it. Every time. We always have the opportunity to choose the thoughts we allow to be birthed into words. You see, thoughts are words in seed form. There's a scripture that says, take no thought saying. If you don't say the thought, guess what? It is never born into existence. And because of who you are, child of God, your words have power. Take no thought saying. Don't say the things you don't want to see lived out in your life. The abundant life is a life that God is adding to all the time. The abundant life is a life that is constantly going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The abundant life includes progress. It includes multiplying, living a productive life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Knowing that the abundant life is a life that is full of progress, that is considered vision. When you know that your life is supposed to go forward, you will never lack vision. You will know that you're supposed to go onward and upward. Let's read this together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, that abundance in every good work. Now, let's look at this for a second. And God is able to make some grace. What's it say? All grace. In order to be victorious, you and I will need all facets of grace working on our behalf. It goes on to say that you always having all sufficiency. Sometimes when you're in church, when all your bills are paid, when you're living your best life, no, always, somebody say that with me, always. That means whenever you feel like you're not good enough, you're not sufficient, you don't have what you need, that means you're believing a lie. And you have the authority to speak to any situation and circumstances and command it to line up with the word of God. Always having all sufficiency in some things. Church things. Spiritual things. What's it say, family? All things may have an abundance for every good work. The Passion Translation says it like this. It says, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, that you will have more than enough of everything. Every moment, in every way, he will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. An abundant life. I mentioned abundant life is always full of hope. It includes hope. It must have hope. And this is something that that's just going to be threaded throughout everything I share going forward. Because if there's one thing that I've seen that's under attack, is hope. Hopelessness is a silent killer. It will snuff the life out of you, out of your relationships, out of your vision, out of your assignment, out of your hopelessness will take you off of what God has called you to do. Hope is crucial for your vision. Our series is entitled Abundant Life. The subtitle is called Your Vision. Because what you see matters more than anything. Because your perception is your reality. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's truth. It doesn't matter what you have. If you can't see it, guess what? You don't receive it. Your vision, my vision, is crucial to even receive the hope that is promised to you and I. We must line our vision up with God's vision that always includes hope. We see the proof of that in Jeremiah 29:11. The scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." God's not guessing if he wants you to succeed or not. He knows he wants you to have a life that's filled with peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Your vision needs the hope to flourish. Hope is belief that the future will be better than the present. Whatever you're going through right now, if you have hope in God's ability to take you out of it, things become better immediately. It's losing connection with God's word that causes us to fall short of the promises of God. If you don't believe the word, you fall short because you don't see the value of it. You don't see, and here's the thing, family, there is nothing more important than you knowing God. There is nothing more important than you knowing God intimately. There is nothing more valuable than you having a real understanding. You know, I may be going through this right now, but God loves me. He accepts me. He has me. I know I'm going to get out of this. That is critical for our success, family. We need to understand, if there's one thing that this ministry has to do in order to stand before God and hear "well done," is we have to encourage, teach, and lead people to knowing God. That is victory. When you know God, you know what people say about you can't be true. When you know God, you know you're not limited to the bank statement. When you know God, you know this thing is not going to take you out. When you know God, you know that he is faithful. He is not lying about what he's going to do for your body physically. When you know God, you will always have hope. Your future is as bright as your understanding of the word of God. When you know the promises of God, your future is bright. Any area of your life that doesn't glisten with hope is an area of deception. Any area. Think right where you are. Think about different areas of your life. If you come across an area in your life and is not full of hope, I submit to you that it's full of deception. You determine, write this down, this is not in your notes, write this down. Say, "I refuse to believe any conclusion that doesn't include hope." Write that down. Some of y'all are not writing. You gonna listen to it later? Try to help y'all out. You know I can see you, right? You two know I'm looking right at you. Choose not to believe any conclusion that doesn't include hope. That is an absolute nugget that will save you from ever falling into hopelessness. If it looks hopeless, you know that's not of God. If it looks hopeless, it's full of deception. The subtitle of today's message is "Your Vision," because your vision always determines your direction. Your vision always determines your direction. 2 Corinthians 4 18. Let's go there. Your vision always determines your directions. Let's look at this and read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. As they pull that up on the screen, we're going to read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Ready? Read. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, we just read that there are two different realms going on. There is the realm of sight, and there's the realm of the unseen that exist together. Now, your abundant life is tied to your ability to see things that are unseen, things that are in the eternal realm. Your abundant life is tied to the unseen. How many of you have said yes to Jesus? You are now a child of God. Raise your hand. Now, have you ever seen God? Your hope, your trust, your faith is in the seen realm or the unseen realm? The unseen. Now, if somebody were to come up here and tell you you're not saved, they got a fight on their hands. You know, raise your hand if you know that you are saved. They got a fight on. They're not going to convince you, and yet you have not seen heaven. You have not seen your mansion. You have not seen God. And yet, your hope is rooted and grounded in the unseen. Your abundant life is tied to the unseen. Abundant life comes from walking in the dimension of the unseen. It comes from you and I trusting what we don't see more than what we see. So, family, don't lose your mind when you see something that doesn't line up to God. Don't lose your hope and your trust. Don't lose your way when you see something in the natural realm that doesn't line up, that doesn't look hopeful, that doesn't look right, that doesn't look like it's going to be in your favor. You have already trusted in the unseen, true or not true. You've already said, Jesus, I'm yours. You've already said, heaven is my home. You've already made claim on your mansion. So when you see things in the natural, don't allow it to take your reality away. That's your reality. The unseen parents the seen. And it requires us remembering. It requires us knowing and understanding who we are and whose we are. So many people have turned their back on the unseen, and they're intertwined with the seen. They're intertwined with the world, and it's discouraging them. It's breaking them. It's causing fear and discouragement, distraction, anxiety, worry, stress, and they've turned their back on truth. The reality of the unseen is what's going to take you and I to where God wants us to be. The way we become water walkers in this world is to trust the unseen, trust what we don't see in the natural. Don't allow the world to begin to dictate your hope. Don't yield your heart to a fallen and lost world. You stay attached to the spirit realm. You stay attached to the unseen realm. And when the smoke clears, people are going to look up and they're going to see you standing strong and firm and being a living example of God's goodness. This is what the world needs. The world needs people who have just planted their feet on the truth of the unseen realm. Victory will be the result. every single time. Anything that's natural is temporary. Everything that's eternal lasts forever. Where you put your hope will outlast every roller coaster ride this world tries to take us on. You have to participate with God's plan for your life. You and I must participate in His plan. We must take Him at His word. We must speak those things that be not as though they were. We must believe what we don't see. We must choose to speak it out full of hope, full of faith, full of expectation. Don't allow the world to influence you. As loud as it is, don't allow the world to influence you. Don't take cues from a fallen world. Don't allow what they say to drown out what He says. Does anybody hear me? Dear God, that's so true. It is so necessary, family. You are a representative of heaven. You are the agent of transformation. God has positioned you to take over the family business. God has positioned you to represent Him on earth. We must, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I won't do 1 and 2. We must refresh what we think and how we think. We must reset our minds. We must return to the Word of God so that the renovation of how we see things comes from the Word. Romans 12, 2, let's read that together. Ready, read. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Serve God with spiritual gifts. Renewing your mind is understanding the highest level of spiritual warfare is thinking higher than the attack. Renewing your mind is understanding that the highest level of spiritual warfare is thinking higher than the attack. You win the moment you say, wait a minute, God runs this. The moment you say, wait a minute, I am of God. The moment you realize and understand, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The moment we understand that happens here, true or not true. The moment we begin to think higher than the attack, we win. That's spiritual warfare. We don't have to put fatigues on and go get in the jet. We don't have to go in the highest building in Arizona to do spiritual warfare. The shift happens right here. What you believe transforms your future, and your hope is locked up in your thinking. Your hope is locked up in your thinking. What are you thinking about? How are you thinking about the attack that's coming against you right now? What position have you given the attack? Is it more than God? Is it stronger than God? Are you magnifying the attack over your Maker? We can't do that, family, not to be successful. And we've done that. Some people are still doing that. That has happened. Y'all ain't gonna leave me hanging. Raise your hand if you've ever positioned the attack, the situation, or the circumstance over God. All right, all right. Leave me out here hanging. Renewing our mind is a must. And the moment we do it, it shifts. Our perception becomes aligned with the Word of God. This subject is so crucial because everyone has some sort of vision. Everyone has a way of thinking. Already, everyone has a belief system. This is so critical for our victorious living, for us tapping into the abundant life, because we already have a way of thinking. We already have vision for our life. Today we're talking about how do we line that up to God's word. Not everyone is even aware of how they obtain their vision. Not everyone even understands why they believe what they believe. It's important for us to take a look. Your self-image and your worth has already been formed. By who? By what? Are you the sum total of your past? Are you what some angry man or woman said you were? Are you your mistakes? Are you now embodying all the mistakes you've ever made, and that's your reality? It's important. The way we understand family, business, wealth, riches, marriage, relationship, the way we perceive and interact with every facet of life came from somewhere. So what we're going to do during this series is take the time to make sure we are aligned with God's word so we can walk in his perfect will for our lives. Amen? Anybody on board with that? We see everything a certain way, we're going to make sure we start seeing it his way. We're going to walk into the abundant life. If y'all are willing to go with me, we're going to walk into the abundant life. We're going to begin to walk this thing out like never before. Things that come against us are going to fall right in front of us. Things that people who've been against us, our enemies, we're going to have a table set right in the presence of our enemies. We're going to begin to tap in, hear God, and do what he says do, and grab hold of all the precious promises of the word of God. Amen. Your vision is under attack, whether you know it or not. In fact, every time you turn the TV on, your vision is under attack. Every time you hear an ad, every time you go online, your vision is under attack. It's important to build ourselves up into what it with what God says. God desires. This is the number one truth I want us to grab hold of. God desires me to live an abundant life. Let's say that together. God desires me to live an abundant life. We need to settle that. Abundance is for you. Jesus came, died, was buried, and resurrected so that you could live life in abundance. Abundant life is yours. God has a vision for you. He has a vision for your health. He has a vision for your marriage, your children, your prosperity, your career, your business, your ministry. God has a vision for your future. We should line ourselves up and receive what he says about us. Jeremiah 29:11. We read that. That's God's vision for us. Hope, future, not evil. God intends to outdo our wildest dreams. Ephesians 3:20 is a proof text to that. Let's go ahead and go there. Ephesians 3:20. I think I gave that to y'all, media team. Did I give you that? Ephesians 3:20. God intends to outdo your biggest dreams and your wildest imagination. This is God's intent. This is God's vision for you. The first thing was He has a vision for you that is full of hope, peace, and not evil. The second one is found in Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God intends to outdo your wildest dreams, your wildest imagination. That's his intent. His vision is to blow your mind. The third thing, the God's vision for you is he desires to fulfill all of his promises. He desires for you to take it all. He desires for you to walk in all the benefits. 2 Corinthians 2:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. His intent, God's vision for your life is for you to have and grab hold of all the promises. His vision for you is victory and freedom. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to win. The proof text to that one is 1 John 3:3-8. Let's go there. 1 John 3:8. God's vision for you and for me is victory and freedom. Let's read this proof text to that statement together. Ready? Read. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God's intention is to destroy the works of the devil, so that you and I are absolutely free. What are the works of the devil? Poverty, sickness, stress, anxiety, evil. The works of the devil, his intention, his vision for your life is to be free from the works of the devil. Somebody say amen to that. The second scripture that validates that point is Hebrews 6:14. It says, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. God wants you blessed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have more than enough. God wants you to win. Did anybody else see that in that scripture? Surely blessing, I will bless you. He's not scratching his, he's not wondering, he's not watching you. Well, if they do this, I got them. He says, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply. That's his intent. That's his vision for you. God desires to bless and multiply us. We have to see ourselves the way he sees us. The possibilities will conform to the visionary. The possibilities will conform to your ability to see it. We got to see it, family. We have to see beyond this address. We have to see beyond this bank statement. We have to see beyond this pain, We have to see beyond whatever is coming against you, because God's plan is for you to be whole. What you look at on a daily basis matters. Please hear me say that. What you look at on a daily basis matters. What you allow in is making a difference in your life. Your belief system is subject to what you hear, see, and say. And your belief system runs the whole show. It doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. What you believe is running the show. What you are going through, you have believed for. I know that's rough. I know that's rough, because we have to look at the man in the mirror. What you're going through, you believe for. I know that would take a lot to unpack that. As a man thinks, We have to be intentional in seeing what God sees for our lives. We have to. There's nothing. You see, your imagination is what births manifestation. The things that you are able to imagine, there's nothing more important than you and I creating word pictures with our belief system, because then we can grab hold of it. Man, I hope that makes sense. Your imagination is key to your manifestation. You have to see yourself. If there's something attacking your body, you have to see yourself whole. If you have something going on with your knees, you have to see yourself jumping. If you have something going on with your finances, you have to see yourself paying cash for whatever. If you have something going on, you have to imagine yourself accepted and loved. You have to imagine yourself whole. Amen. Whatever you're seeing is shaping your future. Your expectations are demonstrations of your vision. My expectations are a demonstration of my vision. If you expect things to go wrong, that's your vision. If you expect not to have enough, that's your vision. Your expectations are a demonstration of your vision. Family, let's choose right now to expect God like never before. Let's expect to never be sick another day in our lives. Let's expect to never be broke another day in our lives. Let's expect favor. Let's expect people to do stuff for you because you're His. Let's expect favor and freedom. Let's expect to be free. Amen. Let's go to application. You guys have your notes. Application. We are not victims. Tia was so right. She said that. What are you expecting, family? Blessings or poverty? Sickness or health? Favor? Or are you a victim? Or are you expecting opportunities? Or are you expecting to be stuck at a dead-end situation? It's important to establish hope in your heart. Say that to somebody. Say, establish hope in your heart. Find somebody. Look around and find somebody. Franz, I got you. Establish hope in your heart. Okay, in application, as we wrap it up, number one, let's read that together. Ready, read. Expect. Number two. Okay, I'm going to take the blame for that. I didn't cue y'all at the same time. Ready, read. Think on good things. Amen. It matters. The proof text of that is Philippians 4:4-8. We got to go here. Let's go to Philippians 4:4-8. This is one of my foundation scriptures. This is one of the scriptures I will always go to. This is one of those life scriptures because it's instructions. And when we go through stuff, this is always there and always says the same thing. Let's bring that up. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read 4-8. I guess we can break it up. Let's go to verse 8 first. Think on good things was the, here goes, let's ready, read. There is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's the proof text to that application. Think on good things. Now let's back it up to verse 4. And the next application says what? The application. Application number 3 says what? Let joy into your life. Who's responsible for that? the man in the mirror. We have to let joy in our lives. We have to choose, and some of us have to let our face know that we're happy. Some of us have, it shouldn't be hard to determine if you have joy in your heart or not. Philippians 4:4. Now let's read the scripture. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Again, I will say rejoice. Okay, application number 3. My fault. Application number 4. Don't give in to anxiety. Don't ever let your mouth form and say, my anxiety. Don't ever, you guys help each other out. Don't ever let somebody sit next to you and say, my anxiety is getting the best of me. My anxiety. Don't you ever grab hold of and give in to anxiety. Deal? Y'all with me? You gonna do that? Good. Don't give in to anxiety. Philippians 4:6 is proof text of that. Number 5 says what? Let God know what you need. You know, you don't have to change your voice. You don't have to become eloquent when you pray to God. Just let God know what you need. Oh, Holy Father, thou art the... What? He looking at you like, come on, son. Don't ever try to be something in order to communicate with God. Just let him know what you need. Let God know what you need. And here's the deal. Trust him enough to thank him for it. You know how we know when we're believing? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, thank you for a new building for Word Life Church. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are faithful. You are giving Word Life Church a new building. I am grateful, Lord. You are amazing. Lord, wow, Lord, you chose to give us a new building. You are amazing. That is trusting God enough to begin to thank him for it. Number 6, be transformed. And here's the key. Transformation comes when you and I surrender our own beliefs. And that's tough, because there's going to be a time when you look at the word and think a certain way. You're going to have to choose the word over the way you think. You believe a certain way, you're going to have to choose the word over what you believe. Yeah, well, it didn't happen last time. We're not talking about last time. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's a word for you today and from now on. What if Andy needed healing in his body? What if I prayed for a new person? What if I prayed for someone at work? What if I prayed for someone at a gas station? What if I prayed for Pastor Jerry? What if I prayed for Rania and none of them got healed? What if my past did not line up to the promises of the Word of God that says by his stripes we are. What if Andy was in need for healing today? What if I said, "Well, man, well, should I? Ryan didn't get healed. Pastor Jerry didn't get healed. You know, it didn't happen last year. Do I forfeit the promises of God because of my past, or do I trust the Word of God?" Lay hands on Andy and watch him live a healthy, whole life. If we're honest, some of us have gotten to the place where we say, but it didn't work then. It didn't work last year. man, I would pray, but family, hear my heart. You choose to live every day expecting God to do what he says in his word. No, your past can't benefit, can't affect. Your past needs your permission to affect your future. Do you realize that? Line up with the word of God. Take God at his word. Be transformed. Let your thinking be full of hope. And the last one says what? Be led by the Spirit of God only. We will be tempted to be led by a lot of stuff, a lot of people, a lot of moves, a lot of trends, a lot of influence. Be led by the Spirit of God only. The proof text to that is Romans 8, 14 and 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15 says, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage. Now notice this. In fact, put the scripture up, then we'll be done. Put the scripture up. Verses 15 and 14. Romans 8, 15 and 14. This is a great note to end on. I want us to notice how fear and bondage goes hand in hand, and they are the results of not being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, ready, read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You are a child of God. Be led by God and God alone. You cry out, Daddy. You choose to let him be the influencer in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for opportunity to tap into the abundant life. Father, you know every situation that's going on in here right now. You know exactly what people are going through. And we look to you now for the answers. I'm going to have the prayer team come up now. Prayer ministers, will you begin to move now? Father, we trust you with our lives. We trust you with our situations and our circumstances. We still believe. We believe in miracles. We believe in healing. We believe in restoration. And we are choosing right now to respond to you. If you need prayer, family, for anything, this is the time to do it. This is the time to respond. The anointing is such that it will destroy every yoke, every bondage that is present. And because we're family, you can boldly come to the throne room of God and not worry about what people might think. Because we're all striving, because we're all doing what we know to do, it's a safe place.